Well, we continue in the book of Job, and we've reached the bit where the second of Job's comforters tries to comfort him. So turn with me, if you would, to chapter 8. In the church Bibles, that's page 504. And if you've brought your own Bible along, it's probably a similar page number. So last time it was Eliphaz, the Temanite, who'd answered Job. This time it's Bildad the Shuhite, who's come to comfort Job. But, and you can see this as he starts to speak, he's too wound up. And so Bildad the Shuhite puts the boot in. His friend Job is down, and Bildad kicks him when he's down. Why do I say that? Well, he gets too personal too quickly to be a help. Verses 1 and 2, then Bildad the Shuhite answered, "How long will you say these things, and the words of your mouth be a great wind?" It's not a promising start if you're trying to comfort somebody, is it? "Job, how can you say such things? You're like a blustering wind." Now, if being called a big windbag isn't enough, next he says, in effect, "Your children died and they deserved it." How does that help a grieving father? Well, it doesn't. It just makes things worse. Can you see in verse 4, "If your children sinned against God, he delivered them into the power of their transgression. Why would Bildad say it? Good question. And there are a few answers I offer, none of them particularly impressive or edifying. Why would Bildad say these things? Well, for one, it's what I suggested as I started. He's been wound up by Job's previous speech. Now, if we're seeking to help people who are down, we're not going to be so much help to those who need our help if we're getting annoyed with what they're saying. Instead of helping, it often makes things worse. And another reason that Bildad might start in this way is because he's wanting to show he agrees with Eliphaz. Before those two friends came to help Job, they spoke together. And part of their approach in wanting to help Job was to work together. And so here's Bildad wanting to show that he agrees with Eliphaz. Because Eliphaz it was who said that these bad things had come upon Job because of his sins or his family's sins. And so it seems Bildad wants to win the argument more than he wants to help his friend in need. And so instead of helping, it just makes things worse. Well, and another reason Bildad says this is because he strongly believes it. He has a very firmly held view that God is just and right and fair. That's there in the middle of this starting section, verse 3. "Does God pervert justice," he says, "or does the Almighty pervert the right?" And these two rhetorical questions show the force of his own conviction. This is the conviction that helps Bildad make sense of the world. God is fair and just. And actually, as I hear him speak it, I want to agree with him. I do agree with him. God is just. In this respect, Bildad is right. But his application of that truth is so simplistic, it's wrong. He goes on in verses 5 and following. If you will seek God and make supplication to the Almighty, he says to Job, if you are pure and upright, surely then God will rouse himself for you and restore to you your rightful place. Though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. What's he saying? If only you ask God, and you make yourself pure and upright, he will put things right for you, and everything will be good again. Now, can you see the bad theology? Here's Bildad in his own way saying, God will even things out. You've had a bad time, so a good time's coming. God's just, so he will even things out soon enough, if you ask him. And it's actually the same towards the end of the chapter, verses 20 and following. See, God will not reject a blameless person, nor take the hand of evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Those who hate you will be clothed in shame, and the tent of the wicked will be no more. It's all going to be all right. God will even things out. That's Bildad the Shuhite's speech and its main theme. Is it true? Is God just like that? You see, Job is not so sure. Job answers, indeed I know that this is so. But I think his agreement is at least a little ironic. But how can a mortal be just before God? He asked. If one wished to contend with him, one could not answer him once in a thousand. And then begins this theme of Job's answer to Bildad. If you say God is just, then I'd like to meet him in court and dispute it, if only I could. If one wished to contend with him, verse 3, one could not answer him once in a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has resisted him and succeeded? And in these verses, Job speaks his frustrations out loud. And we see that Job does believe God is God, but he also believes that God is not just, God is not fair, God doesn't even things out. And as we dip in and see the sorts of places where he says this most clearly, verse 12, God snatches away, who can stop him? Who will say to him, what are you doing? And 14 and following, how then can I answer him, choosing my words with him? Though I am innocent, I cannot answer him. I must appeal for mercy to my accuser. If I summoned him and he answered me, I do not believe that he would listen to my voice. For he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not let me get my breath, but fills me with bitterness. If it is a contest of strength, he is the strong one. If it is a matter of justice, who can summon him? Though I am innocent, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I am blameless, he would prove me perverse. I am blameless. I do not know myself. I loathe my life. You can see Job here, struggling to express his thoughts, and yet the main thrust of what he's saying is clear. He maintains his innocence. Yet recognized if he tried to take God to court, he would not prevail, because the Lord is judge and jury. And so, as in the case with lots of justice, the feeling is powerlessness, and especially when it comes to the Lord as judge. Verses 32 and following. For he is not a mortal as I am, that I might answer him, that we should come to trial together. There is no umpire between us who might lay his hand on us both. If he would take his rod away from me and not let dread of him terrify me, then I would speak without fear of him, for I know I am not what I am thought to be. So in the theme of that chapter, you see Job's anguish and his trying to engage with what Bildad has said to him, which he thinks is wrong. And the remaining chapter of Job's reply to Bildad becomes a series of heartfelt questions which follow from his frustration. But it's time for us to stop going through this little section and apply it more to us and our world. And there are practical lessons for helping friends in need that come from that early part. And the first is, try not to get personal, even if what is being said winds you up. Easier said than done. But it doesn't help, does it? It makes things worse. And then also try not to gang up on the person who's feeling isolated and misunderstood. Job was not helped when Bildad reinforced Eliphaz's point about sin being the cause of his trouble. Just didn't help. If we want to help, let's consider that. But then the biggest issue in these dialogues is this. Bad theology leads to bad care. Like with Eliphaz last time. His bad theology was what? That when things go wrong for us, it must be because of our sin. That's wrong. We know it from the book of Job. We know it from Jesus' teaching. And if we say that things have gone wrong for you because, well, it must have been your sin. If we say that to someone who's suffering, even though they are blameless, like Job was, it just adds immeasurably to their burden in a way which is rather despicable, kicking them when they're down instead of pulling them up. So Eliphaz's bad theology was that. And now Bildad's bad theology. What's his bad theology, as well as trying to reinforce Eliphaz's point? Bildad's main angle seems to be, as I've suggested, God is just, and so he will even things out for you. And if we seek the Lord, things will get better again. Now, all of that sounds good. And indeed, if our aim is to encourage somebody, we might well find ourselves coming out with something similar to somebody who's in the depths. But we need to be careful. God is just. But just as Jesus has made clear, justice, putting things right, may only come for us on the last day. Because it's at the end of all things earthly, when we stand before his throne in heaven, that the first will be last and the last will be first. Only then will all things be fair. God is just, but this world is not fair. And to say it is, and to say it will be, is to add to the burden of those who are having a hard time for no good reason. Suggesting things will even up might sound encouraging. It might be the sort of positive message that we'd like to give to somebody. But how did it go down with Job? For him, it was truly discouraging. For somebody who was already suffering more than their share of misfortune, it only served to kick him when he was down. So whether it's a Christian saying God is fair and he'll even things up, or it might be a non-believer with a similar sort of message, saying the same without mentioning God. Things balance out, or whatever they might say. Any message like that is in danger of not doing any favors to those who've suffered repeatedly for no good reason. And may well find that things don't get better. If they're thoughtful people who deal honestly with the realities of their life, such a message will probably only make things worse, make them feel more isolated, less cared for. So let's help people with good theology. Good, thoughtful theology from Bible teaching which is true to the whole counsel of God and faithful to the full message of Jesus. That is being truly helpful. People who want easy answers might disagree. People who only want positive thinking, positive messages, might disagree. But people who follow those ways might well find themselves kicking people when they're down. And anyone who's struggling honestly with the unfairness of life on this earth will be eternally grateful for good theology and good care. Let's do that. And let's pray for God's help in doing it. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Job. And how in it we see him plunging the depths. And we pray, Lord, that we, if we are down, we might take courage. If we are helping those who are down, we might do it better. And in all these things, see how you are and how you work. Pray this for your name's sake. Amen.